You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
That brings the time to 12 minutes past 4, and it's time to say hello to Steve, who's been... Well, you haven't been away. We've had holidays and everything in between, haven't we?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, it's nice to have you back.
Thank you so much. And hello, listeners. Great to be back. I was up in Port Elizabeth last week, Abecha. And, in fact, what I'm going to share, I was privileged to share it at a conference that I went to. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Folks, this is the Entrepreneur Zone. Every 2 weeks, Steve comes in and chats to us about things that could relate to your business. You may find, and you probably will find, a little bit of information that you can use to make your business a little better. And he does that on the Entrepreneur Zone. So this afternoon, we're talking about innovation and protecting those innovations in the form of patenting.
Absolutely. Intellectual property.
Intellectual property, yeah. Okay.
And listeners, just a disclaimer from my side, I don't pretend to be a patent lawyer.
No, we got one of those.
And absolutely. And we've actually had one in before, Roy Tabara.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of this material is his.
Yeah.
So, what is intellectual property? Great place to start. Mm. Well, it's a product of the mind.
Mm.
But the problem is it's an intangible asset. You know, you can say, here's my house, here's my car, here's a factory, here's a shop, here's etc. Those are tangible assets. But an intangible asset is an interesting one. So the whole question is, if we understand that there are such things which are intangible, but they actually become assets, why should you protect IP?
Mm.
Why would you go to the length of that? And there are times when indeed you should, but there's also times when indeed you should hold back a bit.
Mm.
So it becomes increasingly important in this knowledge-driven economy, the fourth industrial revolution. Why? Because it allows you, listeners, to have a competitive edge. It allows you to have a intangible asset which has got commercial value. But there is a but, and that is it must be identified to be protected. So what are some examples of patents? Well, one of the most memorable patents was for the personal computer, filed in 1980. Goodness me, 44 years ago, by Steve Jobs and three other employees of Apple Inc.
Mm.
Okay, and we know how that has gone on to serve Apple so admirably. What about the guy who patented the idea for a razor? His name was King Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
And he patented the razor in 1904, and it was dubbed the safety razor. Garrett Morgan was granted a patent for the traffic light in 1923, or as in South Africa, the robot.
The robot.
The patent for the television was issued in 1930 to Philo Taylor Farnsworth for the first television system. At age 21, so again, this is an indication that, you know, age should not be a barrier or a hindrance. At age 21, Farnsworth had created the first electric television image, and he went on to invent an early model of the electronic microscope. So this thing called IP, we need an analogy. We need a picture that we can hang our hats on. And so a good picture is that of a house. So imagine IP is an asset just like your house is an asset. Well, how do you get to own your house? How do you protect it? Well, you do two things. Number one, in order to get ownership of that house, you register a title deed at the deeds office, and you have the title deed of that, or at least you do after 20 years or so.
Mm.
And then secondly, particularly if you get a new house and it's in a developed area, you put up a wall that demarcates the boundary of your land, okay? And that wall says this 300 squares or 500 square meters or whatever it is belongs to you. The analogy is that in the same way that you used the house and the title deeds and the wall, the by going through a patent, a trademark, or copyright, you establish ownership, and then the walls are the actual things that protect you: the patent, the copyright, the trademark. So here are some forms of IP, listeners. I'm actually looking at, and sometimes it's good to have visuals, but a patent protects an invention or a concept. A trademark protects a brand or a badge of origin, like Windows. Copyright, the little C that you there, protects works of art, music, literature, things like program code. And design protects a new look to a known article. I mean, you know, the shoe has been around for centuries, but a new design by, let's say, Nike or Adidas or whatever, there's a slight change, and that may be patented. And then, of course, trade secrets, like the secret recipe of Coca-Cola or Kentucky Fried Chicken, for that matter. So there are certain things that are common to all forms of statutory IP, whether it's a trademark, whether it's a copyright, whether it's a patent, and that is that it's territorial. So that's why if you take out a patent for your idea or your asset in South Africa, it does not automatically cover the rest of the world. So you have to seek a separate patent for that. It must be new or original, this thing that you're seeking to claim as your IP. The rights for it expire, which means you've got to renew it. Properties that can be licensed or royalties or sold. This is now across the board, copyright, trademark, and patent. And it stops another party from using. And here's an interesting one that I had to delve a bit with Roy. This patent is publicized. So what anyone can do is go and look and see in that particular area or vertical, they can find, here are the different patents, trademarks, copyrights that have been lodged. Okay, and that's also good, because by doing that, what it does is it creates a way of innovation as well, because you can see what's been done on a particular thing. Let's say on radio equipment or on lighting, etc., and you can see this is missing, or that's a great idea, and you can innovate as long as you're not copying. Excuse the pun. So then what if that's what is common, let's look at copyright. How do you get it? Here's an interesting one. So copyright, let's say, on a new song that's come out. Here's the interesting one. Registration is not required by you in order for it to be, for you to have that the rights to it. But it does help. It must include things like artistic, musical, or literary works, photographs, computer programming coding, and it's reduced to a material form by original labor, skill, and effort. So you come up, Richard, with, you've heard a tune, but you come up with a completely different tune and words, etc., that can be copyrighted because it's your own idea there. You are the author, and its duration is 50 years. And you can, if you get the copyright thing, you can put a C behind it. So, for example, the Cape Chamber of Commerce has got a C behind it, so no one else can come along and say, I want to use the symbol of Cape Chamber of Commerce. So, yeah, that's a little bit about copyright. How do you infringe? Well, by copying, by making an adaptation, and this is around, the question is around quality, not quantity, and then plagiarism versus copyright. So an example of copyright infringement is, and this you should know, Vanilla Ice Baby, hit Ice Ice Baby, has got a similar beat to it as David Bowie's song Under Pressure.
Mm.
Now, I don't know that, but I'm sure you can, knowing the field that you're in, you would understand, wait a minute, this sounds so similar. And then, Richard, there's a picture of President Obama, and the picture that you can see there on the on the right is one of a poster, and it's a Hope poster. It's got nothing to do with the president or presidency or et cetera, but it is almost identical in form, et cetera, and that is a copyright infringement.
Yeah, because the original photo looks identical without the artwork of the poster. I mean, it's what I'm trying to say is that the poster looks like the original photograph.
Exactly.
The angle of his
even
head
though it doesn't say Obama, etc. Yeah. So it's maybe capitalizing on the use
of his image.
Absolutely. Trademark. So how do you get it? So that was copyright. Mm. Well, it's application or reputation. That's an interesting one. You must be capable of distinguishing, and you cannot appropriate well-known trademarks, and we'll look at that as well. And so what's a trademark? Could be a word, could be a logo, could be a slogan. And when you do a trademark, like let's say I trademark Entreprenacity, the logo, it's for 10 years. Mm. And then again, just like with a copyright, with the R or the TM, you can put a warning that this is copyrighted or trademarked, rather, for 10 years. And so here are examples of trademarks, like the MTN logo, MTN's the word, and the slogan is everywhere you go. And then First National Bank, the bank, and how can we help you? So that the slogan is also trademarked. And then Nike, the swoosh, just do it. So how do you infringe? And this is actually worth looking at. So on the left is Starbucks coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners, Starbucks has got a famous like a green circle, and in the middle looks like a mermaid almost. Mm. And then Starbucks coffee. And right next to it is a lookalike, Starbung coffee. Now, I mean, it's clearly not the same thing, but it's
looks
using
similar.
The similar circle, the you know everything there. And then at the bottom, the famous Coca-Cola brand, but Chickalocka, I don't know what that is. But, I mean, you know, that's like an infringement of a logo and a slogan and the words. Okay, so that leads us to the third kind, which is the patent. How do you get it? Well, you do it through an application. When you do it, it must be new at the date of filing. So you can't it's been out on the market for 6 months and then come. Mm. Must be new at the date of filing. The ownership is with the inventor. Duration in this case is 20 years, and then the warnings against trying to copy it are with a patent number, okay, that you can put behind this. Some of the requirements, it must be new, it must not be obvious, okay, and then again, that's a little bit subjective, what is obvious, what's not obvious. It should be a solution to a technical problem. Patent. Okay. Conceptual, and here are some types, like a device, a method of manufacture, a composition of matter, so making a brick out of plastic. You know, a system of interrelated things working together. So you patent the system. Those things might have been in existence, but the way you've packaged it together is a system. So here are some things that are, interestingly enough, excluded. Scientific theories, because they're abstract. discoveries. And what Roy explained to me is that we can be glad that discoveries, particularly in the medical field, are not patentable. Like, for example, Chris Barnard was the first person who did the heart transplant. Mm. But that's not patented. Mm. Why? Because it's knowledge. That innovation is helpful to mankind.
Mm.
Software applications and methods of doing business, like a business idea, playing a game, treating humans or animals. That's interesting. Okay. So what's an infringement of a patent, listeners? It's when you make, sell, use, or import an article or method which falls within the scope of the patent claims. So here are two case studies, and I think they're well known. Well, one of them is well known. The other one may be known by international markets. So Ubuntu Baba, where they had this lovely little, this lady came up with this idea for a sling.
Yes.
And sometimes
it was a baby sling. It was, yep, to carry a baby.
Carry, yeah, a baby. Beautiful. It rests on your on the lady's tummy. And then she pitched it to Woolworths, and nothing happened. And sometime later, like a year later or 2 years later, they launched a similar product. Interesting about this one, that she had not actually lodged a patent. So legally, she was on unsteady ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, there were other organizations and people who'd come up with similar ideas. But what happened in her case is that public opinion found this was unjust. Mm. So social media played a big part. And although legally she wouldn't have had a leg to stand on, Woolworths chose to settle out of court. And that was settled. So, again, that just plays to how important public opinion is. And maybe Richard, before I carry on, maybe it's a good point to just remind the listeners the power of their voice, the power of what they can say about the license as well.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So just a reminder about that. Then the second case study was that of Peppa Pig. And in this case, it's called Peppa Pig Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peppa Pig is largely a British creation, cartoon creation, but it's gone worldwide. And it also went to Russia. Then Russia decided to invade the Ukraine. And Europe and other allies decided to put sanctions against Russia. And part of the sanctions meant that material, content, etc., they would not receive that. So the Russians thought, okay, well, let's create our own Peppa Pig. There's a Peppa Pig, but now it's in Russia, and it might be called the Revenge of Peppa Pig. I'm not sure. So the founders, the creators of Peppa Pig, went to the Russian court, because there's no other court that's going to listen. And the Russian judge condoned the use of Peppa Pig because his view was, well, we've got no other option. The Russian government, Russian public has got no other option but to do this. So they condoned the use. Interesting.
Mm.
It's correct. They were infringing on a copyright or a patent, but it was thrown out of court. Interesting one.
Well, they infringed on the whole of Ukraine.
Let's just push that aside then. And so I wanted to bring in patenting and IP protection under the banner of business incubation and innovation within that. So to be called an innovation, folk, an idea must be replicable at an economical cost, and it must also satisfy a specific need.
Mm.
Now, sometimes people come up and they say, oh, I've got such a brilliant idea. But the idea may not necessarily meet those two things, that it's able to be replicated at an economical cost. In other words, it's going to be so jolly expensive that no one will be able to buy this. Or secondly, it doesn't really satisfy a specific need that's substantial. In the entrepreneurial context, innovation is any new idea, process, or product, or a change to an existing product or process that adds value to that existing product or service. Okay? An example. Richard, do you remember what was your first cell phone? Can you remember what brand?
It was a Nokia.
Yeah. I think the most popular Nokia was 3310.
Mm.
3310. And I mean, they look something like this. Listeners, I'm showing Richard
all the old cell phones.
All the old Nokia cell phones. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but I think that the screen only had one color, you know, whether it was green and black or whatever it was. And I think when they first came out, there was one game, Snake.
I think, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So the new creation, this new innovation was this thing called a cell phone, which was not connected with a cable, and you could travel with it. Amazing. Now, but what about some of the innovations that came to this cell phone, like color?
Mm.
You know, the camera that you have on a smartphone is as good as some of the best digital cameras that you can imagine. Camera is another one that, you know, someone said, whoa, I wonder if we can't put a camera into this. Mm. And then connectivity. So, you know, you could connect anywhere, Wi-Fi, etc. Games. I mean, there is a whole industry that has arisen around games available on Android or iOS. And then AI. Siri, find my keys. Okay. Hopefully nothing happened there. So my phone actually responded to me now. Anyway, and so folks, the whole idea is that you can, when you look at something familiar and you say, what else can this do? What would happen if, I wonder if there's another application for this, right? So the mindsets that where some new ideas, new innovations can come are, no surprise, the growth mindset, which I've been talking to for a little while. It describes people who believe that their success depends upon time and effort. People with a growth mindset feel their skills and intelligence can be improved with effort and persistence. But let's splice it with another one, which is grit. Grit is passion and sustained persistence applied towards long-term achievement, with no particular concern for rewards or recognition along the way. It combines resilience, ambition, and self-control in the pursuit of goals that take, watch this, months, years, or even decades. That's so very interesting. And so here are, now I'm getting it down to listeners, to, well, what about us? What about, you know, and don't exclude yourself. If you're not in the invention game, don't exclude yourself from the innovation game. Here are five things that you can think about. Number one, look for different associations and connections. Richard, I want you to cast your mind back to when came here and we interviewed him, and he spoke about two unusual things. He just made them up.
Mm.
Okay,
and he connected them.
He connected ice cream and horses.
Yes. Yes.
And you think, well, okay, what's that about? So it's by finding those unusual connections. And of course, some of them are ridiculous. They just will never work. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't say, why not? What else is there? So secondly, look around you for great examples of innovation. And they are there. My goodness. watch and research for good content on innovation. One of the best sites is TED. You know, their talks are nice because they're normally 14 to 17 minutes. Mm. So you don't sit there for an hour. But it's just something that the person says or opens up, and you may be listening and say, but I can use that in another field.
Mm.
For example, listeners, the Gosh Hospital, the Greater Osman something hospital in England, they deal with very ill children. And at one stage, they had a tremendous, a very high fatality figure by, when they were moved from operating theater to high care. And they, you know, it was so discouraging. And two of the doctors, after one shift, they were watching the F1 races. And there in front of them, they saw a quick change, like, you know, whether it was Ferrari or McLaren or whatever. It was a ridiculous amount of time that they took to change the tires, refuel, put on a new windscreen or whatever, and the guy was off. And the challenge that they had was that in moving the patient from the one room to another, that's where they had delays because there was protocols and all sorts of things. And they saw something there outside of their field, not in a medical field, in a sporting field or a motor field. And they approached Ferrari, and Ferrari was extremely responsive. They said, yeah, come and listen and talk. And then they, Ferrari, went to there. And because of the changes that they were able to make from a field outside of medicine to the, let's call it the changeover, they were able to reduce the fatality rate by 60-something percent. Amazing. So look around you. Develop a new way of viewing mistakes. You know, mistakes are not those things that are meant to haunt you. They're not, you know, it's just mistakes are never final and they're never fatal. And the wise company, the wise organization encourages mistakes. They don't say go out and make mistakes, but when the mistakes are done, it shows, it's an indicator that people are trying new things. So that's a good thing. And then finally, start small, but think big. I think maybe Zone Radio is an example of that. Thinking, you know, starting on a small side and then thinking big. And then, Richard, I want to finish off, listeners, I want to finish off with four quick stories about Polaroid, Netflix, GoPro, and Adidas, how they harnessed innovation. So Polaroid cameras used to be those ugly, old-looking things that resembled ViewMasters. Do you remember ViewMasters, those things? And with everything going digital, Polaroid's future didn't seem very promising. But they found a way to make their cameras kitschy, cool, and popular through unique branding and an engaging aesthetic. So they're very funky colors and etc. I doubt they'll ever be seen as dated again. And what about GoPro? GoPro effectively took an old product, the camera, that everyone has, repurposed it, and made a fortune. Because when you think about it, GoPro is nothing more than a good quality camera. However, they managed to make it attractive, target a large niche of passionate customers, and create a new category for themselves. The beauty behind this brand is targeting a group of people who are tight-knit, you know, those in the adventure, etc., and large enough to build a sizable business. Everyone wants to record their races. My son, who does his cycling, you know, these 200-kilometer things, they use their GoPros, not all the time necessarily. Netflix, as one of the cornerstones of the home entertainment industry, brick-and-mortar DVD rental stores seemed like they would be around forever. Do you remember that? you had a huge selection of video stores that you could go to. So before DVDs, they used to be VHS, and before that, Betamax. Then along came Netflix. Not only did the brand reinvent the delivery of DVDs, they transformed movie rental altogether with streaming services. The brand's success has come from not just embracing change, but seeing it as an opportunity for innovation. And the last story, Adidas. Adidas benefited from people's increased interest in sports gear that became athleisure. I hope I'm saying that right. Where? And then they targeted people, high-profile people, rapper Kanye West, NHL Pittsburgh Penguins star Sidney Crosby. Don't know who that is, but let's say Sia Khaleesi, you know. And NFL Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers helped put Adidas back on top. As Adidas says, Americans like winners. We needed to not just have athletes, but the best athletes. And I think that's what those that are supporting the Springboks are doing. You know, I flew Safair, and then you see proud supporters of the Springboks delivering them on time. That's clever, clever marketing. Mm. So, listeners, just remember that it's not up to the Elon Musks and the other innovators out there solely. The extraordinary, the new product may be right in front of you, just waiting for you to take it to market.
I think that's awesome, Steve. It really is. There's a lot there that I want to tell you about. Well, on the medical front, that whole protocol of a pit stop is being used extensively in the medical field across the world. And all you have to do is have a heart attack like I had the other day and be taken into an emergency room. It is literally like an F1 pit stop.
So those seconds matter between life and death.
That's exactly. It's amazing. And to all of those examples, there have been people who have innovated even on Netflix and on Kodak and
Polaroid.
So all of these, you're right. People look at the idea. Somebody comes up with the original idea, and somebody's continually trying to improve on it. And that's essentially progress, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. Goodbye, listeners. Have a wonderful day.
Nice to see you again.